Good morning, Power Hour Nation. So good to be with you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. I am your honored host, Daniel Brigman. Oh my gosh, was I sick over the weekend. I'll go into a little bit about that, but I'm doing much better. I'll tell you exactly what I did. It's all straight Power Mall stuff, and I'm feeling so much better. I hope everybody's having a great week. I hope you had a fantastic weekend and that your life is blessed. Today is a day that will live in infamy, or that's so says FDR. Franklin Delano Roosevelt. This is, I went to look for this morning because I had saw this years ago, and I thought, well, I'll never find that. They'll never have that up. And I found it. And so I couldn't believe it. It's a story about, I'll just read it. This is from the Panama City News Herald. This is 3 years ago, 4 years ago that they put this up. U.S. Army Private Paul Brown managed to obtain a copy of the Honolulu Advertiser just after they had been delivered. On Sunday morning, November 30th, 1941, U.S. Army Private Paul Brown decided to slip out of his bed early at the Schofield Barracks Base Hospital on the island of Oahu and head to the latrine. Assigned to the 52nd Field Artillery Battalion, he had been involved in an accident and blah, blah, blah. Brown, who moved a wheelchair, wanted to clean up early to avoid being in the way of the other patients. Brown, who moved to Miami after the war, then to Inglewood before settling in Arcadia, heard a commotion at the front desk and went to investigate, according to a 1997 newspaper column he had written in the Arcadian. The Honolulu Advertiser had just been delivered, but they were ripping the front page off of all of them before they were distributed. When he inquired about it, he was told it was orders from the top brass. But Brown managed to obtain a copy of the paper from a medic with the front page intact. The headline read, "Japanese may strike over weekend." This is just before, of course, within a week of Pearl Harbor. His name is Private Paul Brown. The article, he kept it. It was in his mother's attic. Nobody believed him. He finally found it, and he's got a framed picture of it. Japanese may attack over the weekend. America, there's many discussions or many whatever about whether America knew what they knew, what have you. This is very interesting. And what do you I want you to put it in the context of today, because these things just repeat and the circumstances are a little different. In America back then, when it came to news, you can think back to your mother. It didn't matter. Your grandmother, great grandmother. If you did something and then it was in the local newspaper, a local woman plants prize rose bush. That was a big deal. Look, right here in the newspaper is my name, my address, and my rose bush. Why? Because they had convinced over the previous 100 and so years, they had convinced America that if it's in paper, in black and white, in ink, what's black and white and red all over? The newspaper. If they had convinced you, if it is in the newspaper, it is of importance. And so when you did something at school and your picture was in the paper as a little child and then your parents saw it, it was a big deal. They cut it out. They put it up on whatever. It was a recognition. It was a public recognition, blah, blah, blah. This story is fascinating on so many levels. In 1941, certainly the newspaper industry, whatever was in black and white, was fact. Here we have a smoking gun evidence of interference by the government on this process. We talk about it now, and it's obvious. Back then, not so much. This private, Paul Brown, got up from his bed. He snuck out really before everybody kind of was even awake. He grabbed one of these papers, or he got it from one of the attendants, and then he stashed it away. Then later he hears a commotion, and the military's in there grabbing all the papers as they come out and ripping the front cover off of every one of them. Like it never happened. Do you see what they're doing? If it's in print in black and white, it is gospel truth. If it didn't go in print, if it didn't happen, if it didn't go in black and white, it didn't happen. And so they thought that they could rip off all these papers, then it would never happen. And so many years go by, especially back then, there's no internet. And that's the way it was. The Kennedy assassination, very similar kind of dynamic. And so it takes years to even come up with this. This man for years was ridiculed, this Paul Brown. You're a liar. You're making up things. He found the article in his mother's attic or basement. I can't remember which. And he showed it to everybody and framed it and put it up in a restaurant so everybody could see it. Think about the dynamic of that. Think about now the trick that they are pulling on us and these events. You know, Pearl Harbor doesn't mean as much to the news. I don't know if they'll even mention it. I hope they do. I mean, they hardly mention 9/11 anymore. To my grandparents, you bet your bottom dollar Pearl Harbor and December 7th meant something. I don't know. Maybe I'll ask Kevin when I bring him on, but probably much more than 9/11 did to people. I would dare say if I was going to guess the impact of the country and what it meant to people, I would say yes. I would say Pearl Harbor was a bigger deal to America than 9/11. Obviously, I wasn't alive. Now it's hardly even mentioned. And so the news media today, they've come up with this trick. And it's not in print anymore in black and white. Their big illusion now is if somebody in a suit and tie and whitened teeth certified by one of the major news corporations doesn't say it to your face with a smile, then it doesn't exist. And they have tried with the voting machines. There is no proof. There is no proof. Well, it's just little proof. Where's the show us the proof? When the proof all along is so right in front of our face, it's not even funny. It's obvious. I spent a lot of time processing information between being sick. I had a lot of time sit on my back and think over the weekend. A Dominion voting machine, supposedly Steve Bannon, reported this. Very interesting. Steve Bannon is now seemingly helping Trump. I don't know. He goes back and forth. He was again. That's very suspicious, but that's for another day. Who knows? That's what I'm trying to tell you about these media people. I mean, was he always a plant for Trump and he was trying to play both sides, or I don't know, but whatever. He's reporting a Dominion voting machine was obtained out of Georgia, one of them, by somebody in the Trump team. They started putting votes in it and it swung the votes for Biden, just as it put it in. The algorithm was built in or was programmed in or what have you by 0.25%. And on a national scale or a statewide scale, that would have swung the election, just that alone. A big story out of Michigan, 22 voting machines in the county where 6,000 votes were flipped or proven to be flipped. If anybody says, well, that Dominion voting machines never do this, lie. It's already been proven. In a small county outside of Detroit, 6,000 votes were switched that were Trump votes, and the computer switched them to Trump. So it was just dumb luck. Somebody caught this that actually cared about the truth and had the luck to even find it. And it was, oh, yeah, it flipped 6,000 votes. So the judge finally ordered that all the voting machines in that county giving over to some kind of forensic audit. So now the Trump team is, in the next 48 hours or so, is going to be processing information, and we should know 2-3 days what the results of this are. I mean, I'm waiting with bated breath, like most of America should, on this and what this is. What we have learned is that the media continually lies to you, and there's a big, even in the middle of this, a big charade and a big play being enacted. I've talked to some of my sources again to try to be sure about what they see, what they are being told, what their perception is. I'll just tell you flat out. I'm not trying to hide anything from you. I mean, some things obviously I just don't say on air. I'll tell you flat out. I've been told numerous people in many different angles and ways, Trump is going to win. Flat out. If you want to go to Vegas and bet $100 on Trump, maybe that's a good bet. If you're so inclined, maybe that's a good bet right now, because you probably can get 20-1 odds. I don't know. Not financial advice, but I'm just saying. That's what I've been told. Are my contacts always right? No. Are they right most of the time? Yeah, on some pretty, you know, on edge stuff, they're, which it would be, if they're right 10 to 15% of the time, it would be good. They're right, you know, 60, 70% of the time. So now I have several of these sources now telling me the same thing. They're telling me a little different on how it's going to shake down and what it means, but they're all telling me Trump is going to win, probably going to be through the court, where the court is going to either nullify the election or nullify the votes and basically throw it to the states for a vote, or declare the state just over to Trump. I mean, some things are unclear. The end result is Trump is going to win. This is such an important thing for so many reasons. I've also been told that this is all theater and always been planned to create more division. Certainly possible. I mean, you have military in the wee mornings of Sunday in 1941 running into hospitals and all the stores and ripping the front pages off of newspapers on the, because of December 7th, 1941. Now we are what? What? How many years has it been? It's been 80, 79? Is it my math right on that? 79 years? 79 years later, my grandfather is now dead. My grandmother... I was lucky enough to spend time with them and have them tell me all these things about what that day meant to them. And now I look back on it and it doesn't have the same meaning, does it? It actually has enhanced meaning, probably because knowing their perspective and knowing how they were manipulated. Ladies and gentlemen, the truth will set you free. And this show is about your power. And all of this, we've talked about this numerous times, has been to manipulate and to take and to control the divinity, the dominion, the spark of divine reason that is inside you, and to manipulate it and use it to create a world of not of your choosing, but of some other agenda's choosing, a Luciferian agenda, and make it make you then project the Luciferian agenda through your hopes and dreams and divinity and dominion. All of creation is crying out. Life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. If you, I've said it 100 times. If you take a watermelon seed in the right conditions, one watermelon seed in this creation with the dominion of mankind to guide it can go on for eternity, eternity. The universal decree of the creator is that life and liberty is given and beholden to the dominion of mankind, and that mankind, their hopes, their dreams, that through this, that they can redeem the world or move towards redemption as the Savior puts his hand down and bridges the gap for us. So all of creation to be manifest. You ever go to somebody's house and you say, wow, I know a lot about this person because, you know, I can see their house. Or if somebody's dead and then you go into their house, wow, I see Tom everywhere. Or, you know, with my mother, well, I see my mother everywhere in the house. Or, you know, after my mother died, you know, I'm sure you've had similar experiences. You see them everywhere. Well, it's the same way with God. You can look at throughout creation and you see the fingerprints of God. I see God everywhere. You see creation everywhere. You look in the mirror. Where's the best? You want to see God? Go look in the mirror. Because that is, I mean, what's the poet say? We come trailing clouds of greatness or trails, whatever that poem is. I can't remember it, but the fabulous power that is within us that is trying to be manipulated and controlled. And the media is the key thing of this because it controls your imagination. Television, tell a vision. They're telling you a vision. TV programming. A vision. The Holy of Holies. Where's the Holy of Holies? It's not in the desert in some mosaic tent temple. The Holy of Holies is inside you, inside your brain, your pineal gland, and in what you put in your mind. Because then you start to project and radiates out. And so they're telling you visions so that they can manifest a world. Now, the greatest condemnation of America... some people think it's slavery. I don't. And it's not because I'm pro-slavery at all. You know that's stupid. But, you know, slavery was thrust upon us by the British and a whole system. What the greatest condemnation of America is how we have offended creation in such a way that is becoming to the point where it's going to lead to judgment, and that's abortion. The voting machines obviously are a huge story. We have talked about this for months, about the masks. I've been very adamant about this, about how the mask discussion leads to the vaccine discussion. And the same points are coming. And how do you change the world? How do you redeem the world? I mean, God redeems the world through our actions and through our inspiration and through his grace. And then we then, through our choices, then we can change the world because we reach towards God and God reaches down towards us. I've been told many times, you know, wow, you've had a lot of children. Why in a world like this, why would you want to have children? I've been told that. Well, how do you think God redeems the world? What's the great command? What is the great edict about creation, about life, about continuation of lives, and to go on forever? And so your greatest impact is what you can do to these children and the minds and in every person, the divine spark of reason, Godhood incarnate to some degree. Children of God are walking around and being born every day. And now they're being slaughtered every day. Over the Thanksgiving, I think I told you this, and it really bothered me that I didn't know this. My uncle asked me, do you know what the leading cause of death in America is? Of course, I was ready. You know, I had it popped out. It's heart disease, cancer, and then medical malpractice. And he said, well, no. He says, it's abortion. I thought, oh, gosh, that hit hard that I didn't know that. Over 1 million a year. It's abortion. The number one cause of death in America is abortion. The fact that we have proliferated it, we support it, we make it available, and we pay for it, whether we're forced to, whatever, bottom line, it's on us, isn't it? Donald Trump has a chance to change the abortion laws, to lead a charge to. If Joe Biden gets in, forget it. I mean, we're really on the cusp and a crossroads. There is a real legitimate path that Roe versus Wade will be overturned and pushed to the states. And that we'll start to turn back on this. And it is my prediction, prophecy, whatever word you want to make. As we do this, you will start to see the curse on America, the curse on our seed being lifted. If you want to know if a country is cursed, plain and simple, throughout history, throughout the Bible, if you want to know if a country is cursed, bottom line, look at the birth rate. If the birth rate is flourishing and magnifying and people are growing, then that country, you know, generally you can say it's blessed. If the birth rate is declining and contracting, you can say scripturally, what have you, it's cursed. And now our birth rate, we're not above replacement. We are cursed, officially. We can flip this and we can bring that, we can lift that degree of curse and start to really move towards something different in a different world because the power has been given us. And my role here is hopefully that you hear something that inspires you and that we got a lot of news. We're going to go over it. I know that you want to hear the news, but these times are so big. I was thinking before the show, I don't know why, I was just so emotional with this time in this moment. And it's all here. Why do I bring up all that? The vaccine, and we're going to talk a lot about the vaccine, a lot of news on the other side. We've got about 2 minutes for the break. The vaccine, supposedly COVID, there's being people raising questions. And I put this in the Google just before because I was trying to find the specific article. And, you know, about the questions being raised about sterilization of women from the COVID vaccine. Doctors are raising questions, alarms about this. You can't find on the first page of Google, I mean, I was searching just before we went on, all of them about how good vaccine is, blah, 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 and then the Snopes article about, oh, that's false. That's a false claim. That supposedly somebody at the Pfizer said that, questions whether they can the vaccines can sterilize and how they do and how they twist and how manipulate it. So it's just like the paper in December 7th. you know, if it's not in print. So then they control the print. That's why what Google's doing and YouTube's doing. This is just it's more dangerous, but it's just, imagine military went into your house and ripped the front cover off the paper. That is what they are doing. And how valuable, how destructive and how invaluable our free speech is and freedom of the press. That's why the founding fathers named it, and churches, religions. The power to tax is the power to destroy. That's why religion is untaxable in America. And that's why the founding fathers wanted it to be that way. And the press should always be free and being able to investigate. And they have such lenient leniency when they pursue a story, because they know that the opposite, and you know, we've seen that hasn't always been fair to people, whatever. But the opposite, if it's not, if it is controlled, then you have what we have now in the flow of information, the pursuit of truth, in the natural pursuit of truth, in a world of truth. Well, they want a post-truth world. Because America is, we hold these truths to be self-evident. So if we're in a post-truth world, then now these truths are not self-evident anymore. And there is no basis. And so they can move forward. The vaccines, the tyranny, the masks, they're all connected. December 7th, the day that will live in infamy. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a crossroads of America. This is a crossroads of eternity. I think it's quite fitting that today, 79 years ago, the Japanese, allegedly, I guess it was Japanese, I've heard of other stories about that, dropped a bomb on America, and the world was changed. Well, the bombs are being dropped every day now. And hopefully in your mind, you can repel them and change them back. You're listening to The Power Hour. Stay tuned. Kevin on the other side. Dr. Elena George a little later. So good to be with you.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone, or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com, or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
What in the world is this crazy Willard water?
It's a proprietary solution, and it's a water additive that was invented by my grandfather, Dr. John Willard, and hence the name Willard Water. Boosts a number of different things. We see most prominently that it's increasing the absorption, utilization, and storage of nutrients in the cells. So, for example, if people were drinking, we see a big boost in B vitamin absorption, utilization. If you see it in plants, we see a big boost in their ability to absorb and retain fertilizers or nutrients in the soil. So we see with things like microbes. If you used a microbe on soil, for example, to replenish the soil, and you sprayed our Willard water on it, go through that replenishing cycle much faster.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregarasp. and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
If you eat your man of food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
The Power Mall. We have the quercetin, of course. I need to get some of the quercetin and try that with the zinc. The Strauss products, all on sale. The OptiVita products. Frank Davis is going to be here. Is it tomorrow? I think it's tomorrow. And, the Power Silver, I told you about the colloidal silver. They don't want us to have colloidal silver, so we went and found the best colloidal silver. I put a sprayer on it. I went through one of those whole bottles over the weekend, one of the small bottle, and just would spray it all the time under my tongue. I used oregano, vitamin C, zinc, magnesium, the heart drops, of course, selenium, a couple other things, straight from the Power Mall. That's all I used, and I did. My body responded incredibly well. I was so sick. I went from being very warm over the holidays, Thanksgiving. I came home and it was 20 degrees, and my body does not, when that happens, my body just all the time, change of season, that's exactly what happens to me, boom. And I was, I was sick, sicker than I've ever been in a long time, because I don't really get sick anymore since we're staying on top of all these things, and boy, did I get sick. But the products pulled me through. I didn't have COVID. I can still smell and taste. It was just one of those things. But anyway, at the Power Mall, check that out. ThePowerMall.com, 877-817-9829. Dr. Leanna George will be here a little later. I love Dr. George. It's been way too long. She's got something to talk about. We'll ask her about the vaccinations, too. So that she gives a straight answer. She's a straight shooter. Really respect and like her. Uncle Kevin, of course, is here riding shotgun. Good morning, Uncle Kevin.
Good morning. It's another great day in America. What a time to be alive, and
yes,
I love it.
Yes, it is. We have I know we have Marsh on hold. I know somebody else is going to call in. If you have comments, 844-769-2944. We'd love to hear them. Just hold just 1 second. Let's get Kevin's take. I know, did you have a comment about Pearl Harbor?
World War II was a setup. FDR, that was a whole setup, in my opinion. They brought most of the fleet back in Pearl Harbor, which they never do because, you know, they're sitting ducks. And then the kicker was MacArthur was in charge of a island about an hour away. After the planes attacked Pearl Harbor, they went to MacArthur, you know, to bomb his and strafe his island. And MacArthur never got a plane in the air. So obviously he was told to stand down and take all the damage that he could possibly do.
Or he didn't get the message or what. Let's put it this way. You look at it, I don't want to blame specific people, but obviously something went on. There's no question. But do you agree with me that Pearl Harbor was way more impactful on Americans than 9/11?
100 times more, millions.
I mean, that's the impression I get. I wasn't alive, but from my grandparents, it's certainly, I could see how it imprinted on them. I mean, I was born, you know what, how many, 30, 40 years later, even growing up with them. I mean, 40, 50 years after this, they were extremely still imprinted with that day in their minds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And Pop wouldn't even talk about it. He'd tell the stupid little stories 100 times, but every time I get down and ask him about the battles, he would never talk about it. Never, never, never.
Yeah, he was World War II. He got the presidential citation in World War II.
Yeah, big time. That's big time.
Did. Yeah, he was big time. And, anything else you want to say before we get to the caller?
Nope.
All right, Marcia, you're on hold. Marcia, you're live on the air. What's on your mind, Marcia?
Hi, Daniel. I wanted to call in and tell you guys about my father passed away, but he used to tell me his stories. He was 17 years old when he was at Pearl Harbor.
Wow.
His father had a service station and on where's now I-10. The people were coming from Fort Polk saying about eating rations, you know, and digging foxholes. And he said, well, he wanted a bed and a bean in the pot, so he went and joined the Navy at 17. His father signed for him. And when they were in California, somebody put, I think he said it was sugar, in their fuel. And by the time they got to Hawaii, to Pearl Harbor, he was on the USS Orleans, and their engines went out. So the morning when Daddy told me these stories over and over and over. They're stuck in my mind, and it's a very human story. I can hardly help but just kind of cry about it because being a 17-year-old young man.
Yeah.
And they started bombing the ship. The captain from the ship next door came over and told him, you know, get underway because, you know, you're being bombed, get out. And they were trying to let him know that they didn't even have an engine and their captain was ashore. And so the captain on the ship next to them cut their rope. And Daddy just grabbed that rope and wrapped it around the base, you know, the shoreline thing, wherever you wrap the ropes around. And his boatswain looked at him. He said, Wyler, you will never do that again. It was like a superhuman thing that happened, just to tie that boat to the dock so that it wasn't adrift. And they were right across from the Oklahoma. And when the bombing started, Dad ran to the top. I mean, ran to his guns, and the guns jammed. So they didn't work. So he went back to see who he could help. And when he was on deck, one of the bombers was just headed straight for him, and he looked at this guy in the eye, and the guy looked at him, and the man pulled up. It was whenever Daddy told it forever, it was, you know, very personal. He said that across from the Oklahoma, and they could just hear the men inside screaming and yelling and, you know, because it was on fire. And he said the guys that did get out of the hole, as the boat was rolling, they were just walking it like a barrel. So it was very, very personal. And because he was not on his guns, nobody else really needed him, he was able to climb up to that, I think, the Eagle's Nest. And he climbed way up high on the ship, and he just watched the whole thing from the top. So we grew up knowing what Pearl Harbor was like. For a 17-year-old.
my grandkids
are older than that now. Let me
go back, and the story is very poignant. Thank you so much for calling. When he looked, the bomber, not a Japanese man, did he confirm that it was Japanese? Okay.
Yeah, it was a Japanese bomber. Mm-hmm.
The guy he looked at, I mean, was Japanese, right?
Right. Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Because, you know, you hear stories. I mean, you don't know. But anyway, what did that mean? Did that, you know, like Uncle Kevin just said, our grandfather, there's certain things he won't even talk about. And he wasn't on the front line. I mean, my other grandfather was a drill sergeant and hand-to-hand combat trainer and was fighting on the front lines and killing Germans left and right. And a tank ran over him. A tank ran over him and hurt his back.
Wow.
My grandfather, Uncle Kevin's father, he was in intelligence and didn't, you know, obviously saw some battles, but nothing like my other grandfather. And my other grandfather had PTSD and freaking, you know, would wake up with nightmares.
Yeah.
And, and the whole deal. And was, you know, rough on my grandmother and the whole, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And
my father had, when they were in San Francisco, they had him spraying the interior of the boat, the ship, with lead paint. And my dad always had mental problems after that. I mean, you know, he would kind of come and go, and nobody knew. And then he had a mouthful of amalgam. Yeah. But he, you know, so there, but being 17 years old, it just so stuck in his mind. And we would just ask him all the time about those things. So, you know, it affects different people different ways, I think.
Did he look at it? Was he, I mean, obviously it was emotional for him. I mean, what? I don't even know what I'm trying to ask. You know what I mean?
Here's what he looked at it as. Here's what he looked at it as. Two things. One of them, he knew that the prayers of his mother back in the States was what saved him more than once. Number one. And number two, I asked him, I said, Daddy, how do you handle this? You know, he said, it happened. And you have to shut it off. You just turn it off. He was lying in the hospital, he was a little bit older. And so I just started asking him questions because I wanted to know more about, and that's when he told me these stories. They went on to ended up in, his ship took off, and he had had some kind of a kidney problem, and they couldn't find his papers, and he stayed in Hawaii in Honolulu for over 6 months. He finally went and told him. He said, I need to get out of here. I want to go be with my buddies. And the guy that he went to, he's dug, looked for his orders, couldn't find him. He emptied his drawer, his file drawer, and in the bottom of that file drawer was my dad's orders. So, again, it was just because that was the sand that he was supposed to have been on, and it sunk at Guadalcanal, I believe it was. But he was a radio man and I think he ended up on the sands. The ship that he was supposed to go out of, the Orleans, when it got repaired, it sunk. The point is that he was a radio man. They let some Marines go into Guadalcanal. It was after the guys should have been back. The ship needed to leave, and Dad had him on the radar. He couldn't see them. I mean, he could see them coming back, and the captain said, get underway, and Dad just went crazy. We're still talking about a 17-year-old child, huh? And he just went crazy. He said, I can see these guys. We can't leave. And they went underway, and that's what really haunted Daddy the most. I don't know how much longer it was. He came home and was headed back to California. He was sitting on the train. They were traveling by train then, and across from him, he was sitting and telling some other sailors, some Marines, this is what happened, and it was the guys that he was watching.
Oh, my gosh.
The men that they had left behind were on the same train as him. And so it settled that in his soul, I think.
Yes, that at least they made it, that he didn't leave them to die. And
right. Yeah, I think that's what really bothered him the most.
I really thank you for sharing this, Marsha. I mean, this is, we got another caller. I'm so emotional right now. And I think listening to your story, because back then it was such an emotional time because it's like the destiny of mankind is being formed and manipulated and changed. Like, you know, this isn't 1950s Eisenhower. I mean, this is like, you know, we're in the middle of this war and struggle for our future. And it's kind of the same thing right now. It's just a different arena. I don't know. Anyway.
And again, the prayers of mothers at home was what saved many.
Well, gosh.
He wasn't old enough to have a girlfriend or a wife at the time. You know, he wasn't even old enough to have a girlfriend or wife at the time, but the mothers at home. I will tell you one little short story that kind of would lighten it up and humor it a little bit. Daddy never got sick on the ocean. But when they were in Alaska, they ended up, the waves were so high that you'd be way up on top and you could look way down in the valley. It just looked like, huge mountains. They just looked like a dot in the water. And he never got sick, but they had this, when you go down below, they would hold on to the sides of the rails and just slide all the way to the bottom. But they had this big old what they call slop bucket because people got sick. And when he slid down, the bucket slid over in front of the stairway. He fell in it, and he said that's when he lost it.
Oh my God! I didn't. Even, what was? How did that lighten the mood? What do you mean? How did that? Gosh, Marcia.
Well, you know, there was just some things that you know happened that they had to look back on and smile about. You know.
Oh my gosh! I don't know if I can hold it together before break now. Now I'm starting to gag. Oh God. Anyway, thank you so much. We got another caller. Thank you for sharing. Thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome, Daniel.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got another caller, Daniel. I'm not sure where Daniel's from, but Daniel, welcome to the Power Hour. You're live on the air.
Hi, Daniel. I'm calling from New Jersey, and this old geezer wants to share what I think is good news that I heard late last week on George Norrie's Coast to Coast AM program with guest Roger Stone. They were predicting that, yes, indeed, the Supreme Court will rule that there is substantial, credible evidence of voter fraud, but there's no way to tell who actually won the state, and there's no time for another election. So they're going to order the invocation of the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution, which will have the Senate elect the president and the House elect the vice president. But the 800-pound gorilla in the room is that the Constitution specifies for this election, each state gets only one vote. California gets one vote. Rhode Island gets one vote. And on that basis, the Republicans have an overwhelming majority, which all but guarantees that Donald Trump will stay in office for another 4 years.
I've heard that scenario, and think about Daniel, what do you think? Do you think that's plausible? Do you think we're headed there?
Oh, I believe that's inspired by God's Holy Spirit, that's what's going to happen.
Can you imagine the drama on that? I mean, this
is... Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. It should be fun. God has a sense of humor, and I'm sure he's going to enjoy it, too.
What do you make of all this, watching the media? What do you think the long-term effect of this election is going to be? I mean, besides Donald Trump winning, okay, let's say Donald Trump wins and gets in. What is going to be the long-term effect of all this, whatever just happened?
Well, I certainly hope it, with the exposition of all the fraud of the electronic voting machines and votes going to Europe for tabulation and back, that'll be wiped out. Because I think a lot of the senators and congressmen, even at the state level, a lot of the governors, got in there through voter fraud. And hopefully we can change that.
My contention has always been, you know, America's choosing socialism. But I push back. America's not choosing this. I mean, we're not even choosing these people. And I think now maybe we're seeing it. Do you feel optimistic about the next 5 years?
The reason I feel optimistic is I put my faith in Jesus Christ and that he will soon return to take over the nations of the world, be our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I pray that Brother Stair, who's claiming to be the last day prophet of God, really is a prophet of God, because he's saying God told him he will cure his people so that we can endure the last 3.5 years of great tribulation. And my lower back could sure need some divine healing, let me tell you.
I really appreciate your call. I really appreciate you bringing it up. That's one of the scenarios that my contacts have talked about. Supreme Court. So just to summarize, the cases go to the Supreme Court. They make it up. It's obvious that there's some fraud. But basically separating and dissecting it would take months, if not years, to really know exactly what happened. But they're convinced there's fraud. They're going to annul the election itself and then put it over by the Constitution. It's not, you said Amendment 4, it's Article 4. Article 4.
Okay.
And then they'll have an, election in the Congress. The Senate elects the, Senate elects the president, and the House represents the vice president, just like you said. So that's basically what we're looking at. And it's only one vote per state. So that means, like, New York's got two Democratic senators, but they only get one vote. And so you go state by state, and the Republicans are going to win. No question. And I've even heard the argument that, well, some people will flip their vote, but I've heard the argument because of the 12th Amendment, and I haven't been able to research this, that they will not, they're mandated by law by the 12th Amendment. They have to vote. If they are Republican, they have to vote Republican. It's not like they can switch. And I don't know. Yeah, I haven't done a lot of research, but I have heard that by at least somebody credible.
Before I go, I tell you, I really appreciate all the various guest hosts you've had over the last few weeks. And
well,
I'd like
good.
To hear them all again, maybe once or twice a week, because I like all their different perspectives. And I listen every day for probably 20 years now. And with the advent of these digital voice where I can listen for free without having to struggle through this shortwave radio static, I'm with you almost every day.
Oh, well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I don't know if you've called in before, but...
Yeah, I have. Rarely, but occasionally.
Well, thank you so much for your call. Thank you for your support. And we love being with you, and we're glad that you find value here. Yeah, we'll have,
okay.
Of course, continue to have guest hosts. Absolutely. Oh, unfortunately, you're probably stuck with me most of the time. But
that's good, too. I like you, and I really loved Joyce. But God picked the right, had Joyce pick the right man.
That's very kind of you to say. Very kind of you to say. God bless you, Daniel. Thank you for your call.
Bye now.
Bye, sir. Let's go.
I think they're duty bound, Dan.
They're duty bound by the. I can't even
by
remember
the 12th Amendment.
And I should know what the 12th Amendment specifically says. I know it had something to do, 13th Amendment about slavery. So I know it had something to do about that time about the electors or something, but I can't remember. I didn't have time to do research on this. We'll find out. Look, there are some news stories we do need to cover. Let's just quickly, you got a couple of news stories, just quickly just summarize them, what's going on, and then we'll get Elena George coming on.
Okay, let's see here. This one is pretty nasty. It disgusts me. Georgia's lieutenant government Geoff Duncan on Trump's attacks. President Trump has repeatedly and falsely attacked Georgia's election officials, including the Secretary of State, whom he called the enemy of the people and the Republic. Governor Brian Kemp for their handling of the presidential election. The state lieutenant governor speaks on CNN, Jake Tapper, about these attacks and calls.
What's this guy's name? What's this guy's name?
The lieutenant governor?
Yeah, what's his name?
Right. Let's see. Governor Brian Kemp.
Well, whatever. The lieutenant governor,
yeah,
what
whatever
did he say about
was.
Trump? What
yeah,
did he say?
He calls on President Trump to stop all these false attacks on Georgia's election.
Well, let me say something, Lieutenant Governor. You're an idiot.
Exactly.
You're an idiot. When you have video, you know, we talked about this. We have video of poll watchers supposedly clearing out the election, clearing out the media, and then pulling votes out from under the table. I mean, if you can come up with a credible excuse or reason, I'd like to hear it. I mean, there isn't one. It's illegal. Even if those were legitimate votes, it's illegal to be counting ballots. When you have video evidence of this and all the affidavits that have gone through, and you still will not verify the signatures on the absentee ballots, you are a moron. And yes, you are. Of course, you are an enemy of the people, Secretary of State, by acting this. Who is controlling you? Who is manipulating you? I mean, this is 101. A couple of other stories. You
His name is GF Duncan.
Dunkin' Donuts. Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah,
that's what he is.
Yeah, absolutely. And another compromised dirtbag Republican. In my opinion.
Allegedly. Remember, we're talking to, Jeffrey Doherty. You remember we talked about the monolith, the metal monolith, and he said, "Well, it's probably some artist or something."
Boy, that was an exciting interview. I ate it up. I listened intensely.
He said it was probably smacks of some artist. And I said, "Yeah, we'll find out. They're selling them for $100,000." Well, both of us were very, very close. Stunt artists take responsibility for mystery monoliths and sell them for $45,000. Do you believe was that a call?
Yeah,
or was that a call?
Yeah,
Mississippi. Sounds like 1984 out of Zero Hedge. Sounds like 1984. Mississippi police threatened to squash holiday cheer. Of course, Mississippi was the state where the police went to churches and wrote tickets to the people sitting in their cars.
$500.
The elderly people sitting there listening to church in their cars in the parking lot. What is going on in Mississippi? This governor, this is a traitorous act. At one point in America's history, he would be hung. Literally. That is not hyperbole.
Run out of town.
He would have been hung. He would have been hung.
Tarred and feathered and hung.
Mississippi police threatened to squash holiday cheer. Hosting a holiday party in Aberdeen, Mississippi this year could result in a hefty fine or worse, end up on the police department's naughty list. While there was no mention of police arrest for breaking the new public health orders to limit gatherings, this certainly suggests draconian measures are being implemented that could jeopardize Christmas. The police threatened to break up your party and fine you if they want to, or if they think it's too big. Sounds like 1984, the name of the article.
I mean,
Black Panther is a movie. A Marvel movie, the star of it, Letitia Wright. She's criticized for her controversial anti-vax. Of course, she says anti-vaxxer tweet. What about medical freedom tweet? What about medical understanding tweet? Medical knowledge tweet? Black Panther star is under fire. The 27-year-old actress who plays the genius Shuri questions about the vaccines. And her fans went nuts and trolls and what have you. Wow, it's crazy. We're going to ask Elena George about this and so much more. Great sheriff story that I'll bring up. You know, sheriffs that you've been supporting. It's a big deal, ladies and gentlemen. COPD. Anyway, stay tuned. Elena George on the other side.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, New Mana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? ThePowerMall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at ThePowerMall.com today.